You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on August 1st, 2024, which is the anniversary of the start of Plain Bible Teaching. Plain Bible Teaching began 19 years ago on August 1st, 2005. So today marks the start of the 20th year of Plain Bible Teaching. So because of that, I decided to spend this week talking about using the internet to teach the Bible. Many churches, preachers, and other Christians are already doing this, yet there are still many others who are not. Perhaps they don't think it's a worthy endeavor, or maybe they do, but they just don't know where to start. We're going to get into all of that in this episode. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/080124. Now, before getting into our discussion this week, for everyone who has been following Plain Bible Teaching, whether from the beginning or you've just recently discovered it, thank you. I feel blessed to be able to do this type of work in addition to the regular preaching work that I do. Lord willing, I plan to do this for a long time into the future, and I hope that you will continue to find the material beneficial, whether it's the videos or the podcast, or the articles, or the other content that's on there. I hope you find that to be beneficial for many years to come. But now for our discussion about using the internet to teach the Bible. First, why bother? There are many reasons people can come up with for not using the internet to teach the Bible. There's sinful content online and they don't want to be a part of that. They believe that it's a waste of time. They believe that it is too impersonal or other reasons like that that are given. Now, all of those reasons are worthy of considering, but so is this. The internet is where people are. Like it or not, that is the reality. The Apostle Paul showed an example of one who went where people were in order to teach them the gospel. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 17 about what he did in Athens. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. Wherever the people were gathered, that's where Paul went to teach. Well, today, people gather online. They use the internet to find information. Most people use it every single day. So because of that, when people come up with reasons why we shouldn't use the internet to teach the gospel, we can answer every one of those objections. Yes, there is sinful content online, and we should avoid it as much as possible, but we have to do that anyway, even if it's not online. Even in our regular life, we have to avoid those types of things. We need to realize that we cannot avoid that type of thing entirely. Paul, when he was writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 5 about dealing with the brother who was in sin, he said, you cannot go out of the world. You cannot avoid that completely. So yes, there is bad content online, and we should not associate with that, but that doesn't mean we just ignore that opportunity to use it to teach those who are there. And yes, it is true that a lot of time is wasted online, so we need to make sure that we are using our time wisely. As Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. If we are going to try to use the internet to teach the Bible, that's what we need to do. Not pretend like we're doing that, but really we're just scrolling endlessly through Facebook. Use your time wisely. And yes, the internet can be impersonal, so we need to maintain and work to strengthen in-person relationships. But at the same time, remember that those impersonal interactions online, they are with real people. There are real people that we are interacting with, that we are conversing with, that we might be answering their questions, we might be sharing information with them, sharing the gospel with them. There are real people out there. So yes, there is an impersonality to it, but they are real people. who need to hear the message of the gospel. So yes, people might come up with objections of, well, we just shouldn't bother doing this, but that's where people are. So that's where we need to go. We need to use that to whatever ability we can to try to take the gospel to them. Second, we need to be realistic. Remember what we are doing in this, that we are planting the seed of the word of God. When Jesus told the parable of the sower, he said the sower went out to sow his seed. And he described the seed being sown on various different types of soil, the wayside and the rocky soil and the thorny ground and the good soil. And then Jesus explained the seed is the word of God. That's how we need to think of this, that when we are teaching online, we are planting the seed, we're spreading the gospel to hopefully find those with good and honest hearts. And remember, we're trying to be realistic about this, remember that you may not see any fruit from your efforts. And Jesus talked about this when he spoke to his disciples. We talked about the fields are white for harvest. We think about what he said there, and we often use that when we think about spreading the gospel and taking the gospel to others, that the fields are white for harvest. But notice what Jesus said right after that. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. We may teach others online. We may share the message of the gospel through the internet, through social media, and anyone that might be converted or restored or strengthened in their faith as a result of that through what you have done, you may never meet them in person. You may never even hear that that has happened. But don't let that discourage you. But then also, as we try to think about this realistically, we do need to try to draw people into in-person connections. The internet can be great for connecting people, but it cannot replace the local church. So be careful not to give anyone the impression that now that we have the internet and social media, that assembling and working with other Christians is optional. We still need to emphasize the importance of the local church, about in-person connections, about face-to-face Bible studies. Those are still important. And hopefully what we're doing in teaching others online can open the doors to those opportunities. Also, remember that as we work to spread the gospel, as we work to teach what the Bible says online, that what we can also be doing is equipping other Christians. This is a legitimate and needed work. Paul wrote about this in Ephesians chapter 4, where he said that God gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ. Other disciples can learn and grow and have their questions answered and be encouraged through the teaching that you do online. And that is a legitimate reason to be doing it. So when we're realistic about what we can accomplish, there is a lot of good that can be done in our efforts to teach the Bible online. So how do we get started doing that? Maybe you understand all this and you say, yes, I believe that this is a good thing to do, but I don't really know where to begin. Well, this is some of my advice, not as an expert or anything, but simply as one with the experience of 19 years of teaching the Bible online. First, focus on one type of content, at least at the beginning. Focus on one type of content, whether it's written articles or posts that you might put online, whether it's audio like a podcast or videos that you might record and post online. Focus on one type of content. The key to that is whatever you are most comfortable doing, whatever is most natural for you. For me, when I started, it was writing articles. Now, podcasting wasn't really a thing back in 2005, and not really many people were doing videos, but writing articles was the most natural thing for me to do at the beginning, so that's how I started. Whatever is most natural for you, whatever is the easiest thing for you to do to get started, that's where you start. Pick one thing, focus on one thing, and start there, and then be consistent. Post a video every week. Record a podcast every week. Write an article every week, or whatever other interval works best for your schedule and your working habits, whether it's twice a week, three times a week, every other week, once a month, whatever it is, be consistent. Then once you can keep up consistently with that schedule that you've put together for yourself, then you can think about adding something else or maybe increasing that schedule or whatever it might be. But the point is, you don't want to be overwhelmed and burned out so that way you just give up after a month or two, because a lot of people will do that. Find a schedule that works for you and be consistent. And another thing to do that will help you is to keep a running list of ideas. I have a notebook that I keep with me. It's in my back pocket every single day. I keep it with me so that if I have an idea, I can write it down, whether it's for an article or a video or a podcast episode or whatever it is. I have an idea, I have a question that comes up or something that I see that I think I can use, I write it down. Keep a running record of ideas, whether it's in a written notebook or in an app on your phone or however is easiest for you to do it. Keep a running list of ideas, what you might read, what you hear, questions that come up, things that just thoughts that come to your mind, whatever it is, write those down, things that you can use for the content that you might be sharing online. Now, for specific types of content, whether you decide, well, I want to start with writing or I want to start recording podcast episodes or I want to start with video, whatever one you start with, there is a lot of content online that will help you get started. And getting into specific instructions here is more than I can cover in this episode or in this video. But you can search for how to start a blog, how to start a podcast, how to start a YouTube channel, and get lots of helpful information there. But if you have specific questions on any of those, feel free to reach out to me for help. I'd be happy to help as much as I can. The email address is andy@plainbibleteaching.com. And like I said, if you have questions specifically on anything you want to get started, let me know and I can help you as best that I can. But even without starting a blog on your own website or something like that, you can put almost anything on social media, written posts, videos, and things like that. But if you do that, don't post only on social media. Have a backup on your computer, on a blog, or something like that. Have something as a backup. Don't just post on social media. The reason why I say that is that social media sites like Facebook are notorious for removing posts. I recently had two posts taken down from Facebook, not because they violated any rules, but they were flagged for some reason and taken down. Now, that's frustrating, but in the end, it's their website and they can take down anything that they want to at any time. So if I had put some piece of content out there, if I've written some article and I only posted it on Facebook, well then they decide to take it down for whatever reason, good reason or bad reason, they decide to take it down, well then it's gone forever. And what I've worked on isn't there anymore. So if you post on social media, that's fine, you can do that, but don't just have it posted there. If you spent time on it, you need to have a backup where you can access it even if it's not available on that social media site that you posted to. Also, it's not always the easiest thing to find something that you've posted in the past. Maybe someone has a question on, say, the Lord's Supper, and you remember that you posted something about that on Facebook, but maybe it was 19 months ago, maybe it was over 2 years ago, but you're not really sure when it was. You might be able to find that post and share it with them, but it's a lot easier, I've found, to have it if you've got a blog and you can search through the blog, which is what I do. I have a WordPress blog on the Plain Bible Teaching website, and I use that all the time, use the search function all the time to find articles that question comes up, people are wondering about this, and I can send that article to them. It's a lot easier to do that than try to find something that I've posted on Facebook or Twitter or whatever other social media site. Or you could have it backed up in some app that you can access through your computer or through your phone, like Notion or Apple Notes or whatever you might use, or just saved on your computer. Have a backup where you can access it, you can search it, you can find it easier than you would if you just posted it randomly on some social media site. But the bottom line is, don't just throw content out there. Yes, we are spreading the seed of the gospel. We are spreading the word of God, but don't just do that. You want to be able to access what you have done, the work that you've done, because you put time into that. You want to be able to access it to use it and share it again later, because that article that was helpful for someone 2 years ago may be helpful now, and you need to be able to find it and share it with them. Now, finally, a word to preachers. If you are preaching sermons and teaching Bible classes every week, you are sitting on a gold mine of content that you can use for teaching online. Sermons can be turned into articles or podcast episodes. Your Bible class prep can be repurposed as videos. Tangential thoughts that you had that didn't fit into the sermon, they can be turned into social media posts, and the list can go on and on. We often talk about making wise use of our time. Well, this is one way to do that. Take the study that you are already doing and use it for more than just one thing, and reach more people than just the ones who happen to be in the church building to hear your sermon. Take what you've done, repurpose it, and share it online. So in summary, whether we like it or not, people are using the internet to connect with others, to ask questions, to find information, and to learn new things. So we can use the internet to help other people connect with Christians, to find answers to their spiritual questions, and to learn what the Bible teaches. But we have to be willing to devote the time and energy necessary to help with that. Now, this will never replace our in-person efforts to teach and encourage one another, but it can open the door to more of those in-person opportunities. So for churches, preachers, and all Christians, there's really no good reason not to use the internet to teach the Word of God. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/080124. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who'd be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, then that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, or as I mentioned, if you have a question about what we talked about today, contact me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.